Okay, in Perikyat Aleph, Daniel's been talking about what's going to be in the near future. He's talking about the kings, what's going to be by the Greek kings, by the Syrian kings. He brings up some of this stuff that happens with the Hashmonaim, etc. So finishing off this parak, Pasuk Lamed Vav, Pasuk Ratzono HaMelech, the king is going to do what he wants to do. I believe this is the northern kingdom, the kingdom of Rome. They're going to make themselves more exalted and greater than any other god. Now, what that means is twofold. Number one, they're going to appoint themselves as the leaders of every god. In the Council of Nicaea, when Christianity decided to take over, they really took on all the other pagan gods around them, took in all their holidays and everything they were doing, and incorporated everything into their own. Obviously creating Christmas from that, New Year's Day and Easter and whatever it is, everything else that came through, they did it all, El Elim, and upon the gods of all gods, Yidaber Niflos, they speak wondrous things, Vitzliach Ad Kol Zaam, and they were Matzliach until, you know, the destruction of the anger of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kinech Rotzon HaSasa, because when Hashem decided to do whatever he wanted to do, the result was just that they were successful, the Romans were successful, and Christianity was successful because it looked like the Jews were going down. And their whole success, the success of how Christianity started, was the concept of God no longer wants the Jews. And the fact that the Jews were so downtrodden and knocked down and they didn't have anything going for them, that obviously led them to believe this. Elohei Avosav Lo Yavin. He did not understand the God of his fathers. El Chamdas Nashim El Kol Eloah Lo Yavin. He did not understand. He didn't put any understanding on the Chamdas Nashim or any other God out there. They didn't fully understand, right, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted. This is the Christians who, again, they tried to take on the God of the Jews, but they didn't fully understand what they wanted. They don't even understand the concept of Chamdas Nashim, meaning they think that the best thing for the priest is celibacy, that if Moshe Rabbeinu separated from his wife toward the end of his life, then everybody should act that way. And the truth is, we don't hold that way. We don't paskin anything like Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu only did it because he was already 81 years old and he already had his kids. So he was already Mekayim Puravu and he's already much older. But a regular person doesn't have that. They think they're greater than everybody else. And a strong God, they put on a pedestal. That's what they honor. It's a God that their fathers did not know about. They honor him with gold and silver, together with precious stones and everything else. And that obviously is referring to a God that they made up on their own with their own, you know, like a human being that turned into a God type of a thing. And then they make buildings, right, in order to honor, right, full of these, you know, fortresses and these strongholds together with their strange god. Asher Yakir Yarbe Kavon, which they recognize, and they'll add on Kavon to it. Bimshilim Barabim, they'll say that he rules over everything. Ba'adomi Yechalak Bimachir. And then they divide up all of the ground for a certain price, if they give whatever it is, Ace Kates. So toward the end, when our Golos, right, comes close, and it's the end of where they are, Yisnagach Imo, Melech HaNegev, there will be Gord together with him, the king of the south. Now, again, we don't know where the king of the south is. Maybe it's the king of Egypt, but now it is. I mean, it's not much, right? There's nothing much going on there, but whatever this is. Bistair Lava Melech HaTzafon, there will be a storm where the king of the Tzafon, the king of the north, will come down, Berechav Parash and Banios Rabbis, together with chariots and, you know, lots of horsemen, together with a lot of ships. Ubaba Ratzos will come into those lands of Shatav Bavar and literally take over everything. Ubaba Eretz HaTzvi, he'll come into the Eretz Yisrael. But Rabo Zikoshelu, and unfortunately many people will trip up. Eilim Milatu Miyado, some people will be able to escape his hand. Edom and Moab from Edom and Moab, Voracious Bnei Amon, as well as the first of the Bnei Amon. They're the people that are sitting right around there. So what does it mean, Himom Milatu Miyado? There will be some people that are going to trip up. They're going to think like, oh, this is the real God. This is the real deal, right? Everything that Christianity believes in is the Iker, and they're going to follow him. Who knows? There's going to be a test at the end of days of what's going to be. But other people will be able to escape. Yishlach Yodah Baratos, so he'll put his hand upon the lands. The Eretz Mitzrayim, even the land of Mitzrayim will not be able to be saved from him. Mashal, b'mechmani azov akasef, he'll rule over all of the people in charge, everything of gold and silver, v'chol chamudos Mitzrayim, and all the treasures of Mitzrayim, v'lubim, v'kushim, b'mitzadov, the Libyans as well as the Ethiopians are going to be on his side. And that could refer to most of Africa, because obviously Libya back in the day was referring to almost all of Western Africa, and Ethiopia is referring to almost all of Eastern Africa. People down south were almost not, because of the tree forest, which is right in the middle, they really had no sheiches to the rest of them. Shmozi valu, and all the things that they hear will scare everybody. Mizrach and Mitzafon in the east and the north. V'yatzu b'chem agadola, there will be a great anger, l'hashmin l'acharim rabim, in which they'll go and try to destroy as many people as they can. V'yita alei apadno, bein yamin l'hartzi kodesh, they're going to set up their tents. How do you translate apadno? How does he translate apadno over here? Like a palace? They'll place these huge palaces out there. I think that's the way that you'd have to translate over here. right? These huge palaces. Bein Yamin laHaretz Kodesh, between the seas and the land of Eretz Yisrael, which is Kodesh, Vaad Kitzo. He'll come. Yeah, that makes sense. Vaad Kitzo comes until the very end. Einos are low. Nobody will help him. There will be no help. There will be nothing else there. That'll be it. Whatever he's able to do, he'll do, and then everything is going to be gone. Now, Perek Beis, the last Perek of Daniel. At that time, and remember, this is mostly Gavriel that's telling over all these Nevuos over to Daniel and helping him explain what he's seeing, the visions that he's seeing over here. At that time, Michal got up. The great angel who stands upon Bnei Amecha, the children of your people. In other words, the Malach of Bnei Yisrael. Bnei Yisrael doesn't really have a malach. We're different. If you look at your hands, right? Every other nation has them, their malach, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that stands for the three knuckles. While Bnei Yisrael, the thumb, there's us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There is no malach that stands in between us. But Michal is the closest thing that we have to a malach itself, a malach that takes care of us. At that time, it'll be a real time of pain. It's going to be very, very, very difficult. There has never been such a terrible thing that has happened to this nation from the time that they had become a nation up until that point. Which means, since the times of Mitzrayim, when Mitzrayim wanted to kill us at Kriyas Yamsuf, until this point of Gog and Magog, there has never been such a terrible time. We're waiting for the very, very end, where it could be we're all going to be killed. At that time, your people is going to be able to escape. There will be a way for us to be able to survive that very, very end. Everything that is found written down in a sefer. And whatever is, it's going to be in some type of way, something's going to be awesome. Rabbi Miyasheni Adma Safor Yakitsu. At that time, many who are sleeping on the ground will awaken. Some will live forever, and others will unfortunately be thrown away forever. Now, the obvious medrash behind this pasuk is a reference to Tchias Mesim, that there will be people that will wake up from the ground, in other words, will be full Tchias Mesim, and then their ultimate day of judgment is going to be the Yom HaDin HaGadol. That Yom HaDin HaGadol, some people are going to be judged for something good, and forever there will be an Olam Haba in a tremendous world that's going to be different after Tchias Mesim happens. Others are going to be given Gehenna, their final punishment of what they have to get according to what they deserve, according to what they went through. Others say this is not referring to that. It refers to the people that are asleep on the ground, meaning people that are living in this world but don't care about anything, they're going to wake up. Some of them are going to be embarrassed of what they did in this world, and other people will realize, wow, I really did something good in this world. And that's the reference over there. I think in Pshat, that's how you'd understand it. Those who are wise and have done wise things and are great, great people, they learned Torah, they did mitzvot, they did the right thing, they will shine like the shine of the heavens. Those who help other people, they help the rabbim become even greater. They're matstik the rabbim. They're like stars. They will last forever. There's going to be only awesomeness for them. It's really going to be good. There's nothing that's going to hold them back. These refer to the Rabbanim as well. The difference between the Maskilim and Matzdiki Rabbim is probably referring to Maskilim, people working on their own, Balabatim, who are able to sit and learn while they're doing everything they're doing. The Matzdiki Rabbim are referring to the Rabbanim, who are able to sit there and teach other people at the same time. They will be like Kochavim. The Maskilim will shine. The Matzdiki Rabbim will be like Kochavim. The pshat behind a kochav, right, and what's explained by many of the Mefarshim is that a star looks so tiny in the sky. Got a tiny little dot. But if you knew how big that star actually was, billions of times greater, I shouldn't say billions, thousands of times greater than our Earth itself, sometimes even millions of times greater than our Earth itself, depending if it's a white, yellow, or red star, right? If it's a red star, it could be thousands upon thousands, maybe even millions of times greater than the Earth. You can't see it because it's too far away. We look at certain Gedolim and Tzadikim and Rabbanim and we think to ourselves, whatever. I mean, yeah, they're great, but they're not that much greater than normal human beings. That's because we're so far away from their level that we only see them as distant stars. That's all we see them as, tiny little specks in the distance, right? So it's like, yeah, they're bright, but that's about it. If we were there, we'd see how much greater they actually were. The concept of greatness that's there when we really get into their level. V'ata Daniel. Now you, Daniel, this is a reference again, Gavriel or Michal or both. This is Soma Dvarim. I want you to close up these words. Chasom HaSefer, seal up the Sefer at Eitz Ketz until the time of Mashiach to come. Yishot Tzidu Rabim V'sir V'Adas, when the many people will be able to fly around and the Das will be much for everybody. Everybody will be able to understand it completely. But he said, Daniel, so he stopped. And I saw, says Daniel, B'nei Shnayim Acherim Omdim, there were two other Malachim standing, Echad Heinel L'Sasayor, V'Echad Heinel L'Sasayor, both of them on either side of the river that it was by, the canal that it was by. V'Yamele Ish L'Bush Abadim. And he said to the man that was wearing this linen clothing, referring to Gavriel, Shem Yimala Memei Or, who stood on top of the waters of the Or, Ad Masai Ketz Aplois, Right? Until when will be the end of all these wonders? When will this end? So I was listening to the man that was wearing this linen clothing that stood on top of the waters of the river and the waters of the canal. And he lifted up his right hand and his left hand to the heavens. Right, there will be more rachmin than there is din. That's why the right hand comes first. It doesn't say that he lifted both arms. It's clearly his right hand first and his left hand. And he swore by the name of God. It will take a moed as well as moadim and then a half. Okay, when the destruction of the handiwork of the people that are holy, that's when all this will end. I heard it, but I didn't understand it. And I said, my master, I don't understand what that means. What's that referring to? What's the cheshbonos that we're referring to over here? They're calling it a moed, a moadim, and a chetzi. What does that refer to? And he said, go, Daniel, because these words are closed up and they are sealed. All of these words until the time of the Kates. There's nothing I can tell you. I cannot explain it to you. And there's nothing I can do. Allow there to be clarified. And let them be cleansed and refined, many, many people. Allow people to become tzaddikim and work on themselves and become better and better and better. Yeshua Rishayim, let the Rishayim go off. Some people are going to gain from this. That means Mashiach could come at any time. And they're going to become better people for it because they're going to say, what if Mashiach comes today? I got to do tshuva. So their constant thought is, what if it comes today? What if it happens today? And the Rishayim, who don't want to think about it, let them become Rishayim. Le'evinu kol Rishayim. They don't understand these Rishayim. Va'maskilim yavinu. But the maskilim, they'll understand. Let them gain from it. Let them grow from it. We'll see what happens. And me'esu sarat tamid from that time. Right when the Talmud was taken away from the base of Mikdash, either the first base or the second base of Mikdash, most likely it was the first base of Mikdash altogether. From that time that they put in the idol inside the base of Mikdash itself, let's say Shikut Shomeim, when they put that idol inside, we don't know exactly what that refers to, if it refers to Menashe putting a Tselem in the Heichel, or something else that the Romans did in the times of Nebuchadnezzar and Nebuchadnezzar, right? Or if it's possibly something that was done, Nebuchadnezzar and Nebuchadnezzar, I'm sorry, from the Babylonians, or done by the times of Titus in the times of the Romans, whatever it means, Yomim Elof Masayim V'tisha. There will be years of 1290 altogether. Now, we went through some of that before, but we really have absolutely no idea. No idea what the 1290 refers to. If it refers to 1290 years from the end of the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash, we'll count that up. The year 70 plus 1290 is altogether 1360. 1360 to them must have been, that's crazy. An eon from now, that's unbelievably crazy. By us, it's like, yeah, that was 700 years ago, right? So where is Mashiach now? Right, so it's clearly not referring to that. But what does the 1290 mean? We have absolutely no idea. Ashrei hamechakeh, happy is the person that waits for this v'yagia liyamim, and he reaches to the year of Elef Shlosh Meos Shloshim V'chamisha, to 1335. Whatever 1335 is, wait until that comes. V'atol leich leketz, and you go to the ketz. V'senuach, you will rest. V'samu l'gorolcha leketz hayamim. And you will stand up for your girl, whatever you need to get, at the end of all the days that's out there. Kamo, the Achros Yomim, says Rashi, at the very, very end of days. You just have to wait. At that time, that will be. Now, a lot of people will bring this up. There's a Gemara in Sanhedrin that seems to say that if he's from the living Mashiach, then he's going to be like X, a certain person. If he's going to be Mina Mesim, the people that are, I think it was Reb Yudah Anasi, if they said it correctly, or something like that, I don't remember. Mina Mesim, and if it's from the dead, Kigon Daniel. Because over here it seems to say, Leketa Yaman, Sanuach Vesamod Legarocha, you will stand up for your girl, Leketa Yaman. Almost as if to say, Daniel will be Mashiach, Leketa Yaman, that he himself will come back. Now that leads credence to somebody like Yashka or the Lubavitcher Rebbe, after they pass away, to be able to come back and to be able to be Mashiach, which we know is not true. It cannot be. Famous line that was said, the Brisker Rav, I think it was the Grizz, I'm not positive who it was. Somebody came into the base medrash of the Briskers and, was talking with the Bachram, and he started convincing the Bachram, like, Yashka is the real deal, Yashka is the real deal. They said, why would we believe? The people at the time, right, didn't believe in him. Why should we believe in him? He said, the people at the time made mistakes. Look, Rabbi Kiva made a huge mistake with Bar Kochba. How come maybe they made a mistake with Yashka? Maybe he really was, and maybe that was supposed to be. So they didn't know what to say. The people didn't know what to answer back. So the Prisker Rav got involved. He said, all right, no. Came over, right, and he said, Yashka was Mashiach. Right? Oh, I'm sorry. I said it wrong. Bar Kochba was Mashiach. That's what the Brisker Rav said. Bar Kochba was Mashiach. So the guy's like, what? What are you talking about, this Christian guy? So he said, yeah, Bar Kochba was Mashiach. He said, it can't be Mashiach. Brisker Rav said, why can't he be Mashiach? Because he died. That was the line that Brisker Rav used. It's good, right? It was pretty good. But that was the concept. That was the concept that he used over here to be able to say that concept. No, it's something that's out there. All right, we'll stop with that. That is the end of Daniel.